Sam Riley?
Yes.
Why?
Because you blur all these weird things and then you subject us to talking about how you have eyes like a woman.
I didn't say that. Rick, this email says, my junior year in high school, I worked as a cashier at a Winn-Dixie in Florida. One day, a young kid came through my line with a box of condoms. Being the jerk that I was at the time, I called in a price check over the store's intercom. The kid was mortified, especially when I included the small size at the end. I was rewarded for years to come by not getting any action of my own. I suck. Rodriguez, out. All right. Hey, let's talk about Dominic's. They're on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, right there by G.I. Joe's, City Game Exchange in the neighborhood as well. So we were just talking about, it's actually Terrell Owens coming up, but you know what? There's all kinds of NFL action, pro action, college action. There's Ducks games, Beavers games, all of that. So there's that whole, I think it's coming to Saturday, even with a broken hand, he's going to be playing on Saturday. So if you want to catch that game, you can do it at Dominic's. They are not your ordinary sports bar. They got 12 flat-screen, high-definition televisions inside, and they got the full satellite package as well. So you want to go in there, get your NFL fix, and of course, while you're there, you can grab some food as well. They got the full menu that goes all the way till close, so they don't sort of ramp down the food as the night goes on. You can get anything on the menu all the way up until they close. And then between games, they got the jukebox, they got live music, karaoke, shuffleboard, pool, and all of that. Tell me, heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. You get an appetizer of your choice, absolutely free, no cost. Go see them. 12 high-definition flat-screen televisions and any sport you could possibly be interested in. They got it right there. Plus $1.99 breakfast on Saturdays and Sundays. Go see them. They are not your ordinary sports bar. They're Dominic's.
If you haven't heard the Don and Mike Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. Ken Jennings, who this guy reminds me of.
Right.
I find it somewhat ironic that they've hired him to Comedy Central to give him, like, a Weinstein's money show because they think he's so smart.
Uh-huh.
Anybody knows? He got his ass kicked on the Jeopardy tournament of nerds.
I don't think he's got legs. Well, I really don't.
He's got a show. He's got zero personality.
No, he doesn't. That's the great thing about it. Like most of those people on Jeopardy. I love Jeopardy. I watch Jeopardy a lot, but I cannot believe the average person who is like, what do you do for fun? Well, I lick stamps.
I like Teen Jeopardy and also Celebrity Jeopardy. I find that those are more to my intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they dumb it down a bit.
Well, the Tournament of Champions is just in the stratosphere.
I know, it's for
most people.
Let's listen. Dawn and Mike.
Dawn and Mike.
Yeah, weeknights at 7. Only on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Dude, you have to come to Game Geeks. I was there last night playing some Magic with Dan, the owner, and I met this totally hot chick. I guess she has a thing for gamers. She thinks they're totally hot.
Oh, really?
Totally. We're going back tonight to play some Dungeons & Dragons. You should come along, man. She's got a friend who's got an even bigger thing for gamers than she does.
I'm so there. Where are my keys?
Game Geeks is a premier Wizards of the Coast store, which means inventory related to your addiction is always in stock or can be ordered within 2 days, including all things D&D with a wide selection of dice, magic, and just about anything else you can think of. Game Geeks is located in Gresham on Hogan Road, 1 mile south of Powell, and are one of the only stores in Portland that still hold vintage magic tournaments. So dust off your old deck and log on to GameGeeks.com. That's GameGeeX to check out their list of sanctioned tournaments and events happening every month at Game Geeks on Hogan Road, 1 mile south of Powell. For all things D&D, log on to GameGeeks.com. Game Geeks, your friendly neighborhood game store.
When Car Subaru created the only price, shopping around became a thing of the past. Because when Car Subaru posts the only price in the window of a new Subaru, it makes our customers smile and our competition sweat. And here's why. The only price isn't just our lowest price. We believe it's the lowest price you'll find anywhere. Like our new 2007 Subaru Outback starting at just $18,995. Car Subaru is the largest Subaru dealer in the country, so our customers get more selection, more new models, and more savings than ever. That's over 450 Subarus in stock, all with symmetrical all-wheel drive. And with our 2007 Subaru Outback starting at just $18,995, we're offering them at prices our competition can't compete with. Visit us today at 217 and Canyon Road in Beaverton or on the web at carauto.com. Then again, if you have time and money to waste, keep on shopping. The only price. Only at Car Subaru. Think Field Drive Subaru. Stock number S70013 includes $750 factory rebate.
It's your choice. You can call Geico, go to geico.com, or check the yellow pages for the office near you. Just stop paying more for car insurance than you have to.
tonight. James Woods is back in the courtroom.
I always wondered what it would be like to take you on, Sebastian.
Be careful what you wish for.
The new hit drama, Shark, CBS Tonight after CSI.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's Muy Grande.
Cut! These are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
My fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better, but let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut. And that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan invites you to celebrate their birthday. Enter to win one of Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan's birthday surprises. And check out the Nissan year-end clearance. Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan. Go to TonkinWilsonvilleNissan.com.
Hell is for Children, backed with, I don't think it was Hit Me With Your Best Shot. How was that? What was the, I sound like Don Geronimo. What was the flip side of Hell is for Children? I don't know. I bought them at the same place. I bought Hell is for Children by Pat Benatar and Paradise by the Dashboard Light by Meatloaf, which in retrospect, I'm amazed that fit on a 45, actually. It's all very confusing. And talk about CD Game Exchange. Well, you know, we talk a lot about the new releases like that Weird Al Yankovic, which came out this week, which is genius. It's fantastic, and I haven't even played the most genius cut because I don't even know that I dare. I don't even know that I have the audacity to do it. I don't know that I have the stones to play the best cut on the record. I will find it. We'll talk about it later when we come back. But so weird how that comes out. Somebody asked me how there can be a new Highwayman CD if Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings are dead. I think it's actually a reissue of a concert that they did, I don't know, like 86, I think, that was out on VHS and blah, 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 blah. The point is, new Highwayman DVD out, and Jay-Z's Greatest Hits is out on CD as well. But they also got vinyl there. We were just talking about 45s. You go there, they got vinyl. They got, that's not where you got the Jim Steinman, but that is where I saw, man, I saw a great copy. If I didn't already own it, it's one of those pieces of vinyl that I almost want to buy again because it's so cool. It was an almost pristine Live at Budokan Cheap Trick that I saw there. So it's a great place to go. CD Game Exchange. They buy, they sell, they trade. Of course, if you got stuff you're not listening to anymore, you can trade it on in. Five locations, one near you, including a brand new one on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard. They trade stuff as well. So you can trade, buy, sell, get cash in hand, DVDs, CDs, video games, etc. Go see them. CD Game Exchange.
If you haven't heard the Tom Likas show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. Hi, Sasha.
What's wrong with you today?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Yeah. Are you kidding? I'm feeling my oats today. Feels good to read this story and hear about this guy who, now he's 38. And he realizes he shouldn't hook up with a 38-year-old who ignored him when he was in his 20s.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I can hear his side. I can hear your side that regard. But you sound really bitter, I'm talking about.
Why do you say that?
Because you're talking about the same old stuff, the new car.
How do you know if I'm talking about the same old stuff if you don't listen every day?
I don't listen every day.
How would you know if it's the same old stuff?
Because I hear you talking about your Lexus.
But you couldn't if you didn't listen.
I said I listened a lot.
Oh, you listen a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's listen. The Tom Likas Show. Weekdays at 3 on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
You. Me?
Yes.
Huh?
You.
What?
You are listening to AM 970 KCNB. Solid State Radio. Root.
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Just a moment, we'll be joined by Jen Lane, Barfly Magazine. Did I read this story about the kid's ear and the insect?
No, please do.
Okay. Listen to this. This is from someplace. I believe this is from Connecticut. The next time someone puts a bug in your ear about an athlete worth watching, tell him about Jake Asp. Oh, no, it's Wisconsin. Asp, a 6'1", 205-pound fullback, set a middle board, blah, 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 blah. After the game, this is some sports record. After the game, Asp went to his room to take a nap, but woke up because he felt something strange and painful in his right ear. When the pain became unbearable, much like the story will soon become, family members took him to a nearby clinic. This was sent to me, by the way, by like 100 people after we talked about fire ants yesterday. They speculated that something had happened to him in the game the night before. Someone said I could have popped my eardrum, he said, but when I got to the clinic, they took a look in there and I was like, what the heck? And then I heard someone talking about a large beetle being stuck inside my ear. Yeah. Asp said, everyone buckled in. Said he could hear the beetle crawling around inside his ear, and it was driving him nuts. Quote, we're about to peak now with the unpleasant sentences. Jen is actually plugging her ears. He said, quote, it was digging and biting into my eardrum. That went on for about 45 minutes. It was making a whole lot of weird popping and crunching noises. It hurt pretty bad. The medical staff tried repeatedly to pull the beetle out with tweezers, but couldn't.
Couldn't they just flush that sucker out?
He was taking it. Well, I mean, not if it's biting, not if it's holding on. I don't think. Well, because they got those little...
Yeah, those little, like, squeezy things. That's how you get a ball out of a hole. Fill it with water. Why don't you just
you mean to get the bulb? I thought you meant the insect. No, because the insect, they have those. You know, that's how they can climb walls. They got those feet with hundreds of little hooks. He had to undergo surgery to remove the insect. Would you like a picture? Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
That's pretty large.
Oh.
Wow.
I'd say that's a good. Oh, that's almost half an inch. I would say.
I would say like 3/4 of an inch. Maybe.
Yeah. He said from now on he'll. He'll close his windows when he takes a nap. Yeah. Oh, totally. No, it's totally like one of those. It's like that. There's like one of those extra-biles insects. All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you're here today, it's your friend and personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A Louisville newspaper gets a disc with 232 pictures of nude National Guard women. U.S. Army taking a closer look at whether or not they posed with their M-16s and other military equipment. The newspaper reported the compact disc contained 232 photos of at least a half dozen nude and semi-nude women in various poses with military rifles and covering their breasts with American flag decals.
Well, that is. National Guard women do seem exactly like the kind you'd like to see nude.
The punishment could range from informal reprimands to court-martials. Well, Marsha Weinstein, the executive director of the Kentucky Commission on Women, whatever that might do, said it would be hypocritical to punish women involved when there's a long history of male soldiers posting pinups in their lockers and of the U.S. military flying in female sex symbols to entertain male troops.
Well, but I don't understand. So are these women who are currently serving?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's lots of time to kill, I suppose.
Time for a Whitney watch.
Here's your Whitney watch for Thursday.
Houston has found help coping with her divorce and drug problems from an unexpected source, Courtney Love. According to Us Weekly, Love sought to help off Houston when she saw a story in the Inquirer that depicted Whitney's crack den.
Oh, that's a bad face on Courtney Love. It's like somewhere in the attic there's a picture of her that's staying really pretty. Because literally, you hear people say, well, that's like she's wearing a mop. That actually looks like a mop. And her face has gotten... Courtney Love's face has gotten all rubbery and weird looking. Is that like when collagen starts to slide around or something?
Yeah.
her lips seem all like they're made of rubber, and then she's got
Mick Jagger lips.
She told, and then she's got like a waddle. It's like a bad.
It's
waddle.
It's so like lumpy and weird looking.
Lump, totally. That's exactly. That's when you get your like a discount plastic surgery. You know what it is? This is like the hair club for men, where they, you know, they give you the wig, but they sell you the glue, and then after like a month, if you don't pay the bill, it starts to.
It's the mop club for Courtney.
That's totally what that is. So if you don't, it's like you're not paying your upkeep on the collagen. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me about this, actually. They said that if you get collagen, and is collagen, here's a question. What is collagen? Go.
I think it's some kind of, I don't know, silicone or some kind of plastic surgery injected into your lip.
It's, but is it a naturally occurring substance? So it's from your body. So it's like butt fat or something, maybe? It's like, you have to walk a little closer to stay right here.
We can't hear you.
I think it's a building block of skin. But like an amino acid or something that helps make skin.
But where would you get it?
I don't know.
I mean, is that one of those things where like they take it out of your, when take this out of your thigh and
you're
stick it into your.
You're three people that have had no plastic surgery.
No, it's a fair point. It's like the other day, somebody asked me what pestilence was and I didn't know. We were talking about famine and pestilence and somebody said, what is pestilence? And I opened my mouth to reply. And I realized I had no idea what pestilence actually was. All right, well, let's finish this here.
The former Hole front woman contacted Whitney's mentor, Clive Davis, and advised that he get in touch with her addiction counselor, who's Warren Boyd, to assist in getting Whitney clean. The magazine claims Boyd and Owen staged an intervention for Houston 5 months ago. Now, Whitney's living in the Los Angeles area, where Boyd can keep tabs on her while he takes part in long-term outpatient rehab.
All right, there's your Whitney watch. Let's do one more here. Okay, we'll do one more of a break. We'll come back with Jen Lane after this. Somebody told me, though, that if you get collagen injections, that they do require, like in your lips or whatever, that they do require maintenance because then it starts to get all uneven. It's sort of like squeezing a balloon, and it all just ends up like on one side of it or something. You have to pay to have all that stuff maintained.
A car commercial proclaiming a jihad on the U.S. auto market and offering Fatwood Fridays with free swords for the kids is offensive and should not be aired.
That's fantastic.
That according to Muslim leaders in Cincinnati. The radio advertisement for the Dennis Mitsubishi car dealership in Columbus, Ohio, had a whole jihad theme, said the director of the Columbus office for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. They're planning on launching a jihad on the automotive market, and the representatives will be wearing burqas. They mentioned the Pope in there, and also giving rubber swords out to the kiddies. Really reprehensible type comments. Well, the tales of the radio ad, which have not yet been broadcast, have been reported in the local media, but officials at the dealership declined to comment on the content of the radio spot. Two employees at the dealership say they've been deluged with calls about the commercial, and that's when advertising works.
Well, seriously, a job accomplished. Somebody find a spot. Well, I mean, really, let's be honest. It's no worse than wrapping everything in the American flag to try to sell crap. I mean, if I see the 4th of July used one more time to try to sell me a waterbed at half price, I mean, this is...
Or George Washington holding a DVD.
Exactly. There's really no difference. All right, there you go. Well, let's break. We'll come back. Jen Lane is here. And we've got Likas coming up at 3, Don and Mike at 7, etc. You stay right there. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson radio program.
Want to live? This is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Rick, seeing a condom demonstration by the nightly news guy would have been infinitely better than seeing it done by my overweight health ed teacher. She was rather Julia Child-esque. God, I had a nun. You know, when I was in Catholic school, I had a nun. Not one of those things that just, in retrospect, seems so creepy. Was just obsessed with talking about condoms and the proper application. And it wasn't so much the proper application as it was the proper disposal of afterward. And one of those things that, in retrospect, doesn't really seem like a nun ought to take a great deal of pleasure in talking about. Well, what can you do? EcoPDX are one of the fine sponsors of the Rick Emerson Show. EcoPDX, quality, sustainability, fair trade. In short, they give a damn. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that you're going to get high-quality furniture. You're going to get furniture. It's not the cookie cutter. It is now one-size-fits-all. Doesn't look like anything you've ever seen before, frankly. And I'll tell you what, if you go to EcoPDX, you see a great dresser, bed set, a chair, table. They got benches, that all kind of bookshelves, all kind of that stuff. If you go there, you see something, you like it, you got to tell them about it. Because you know what? It may be gone the next time. And you may never see another piece of furniture like that again. Because it is all handmade, handcrafted out of salvaged wood. Which means that it's wood that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. Sometimes it's been sealed underground, traps all the minerals in there. So the wood has a great, rich, natural look to it. You see it, you don't buy it, might be gone the next time. But you know what? Their inventory is constantly changing. That stuff is made at a fair trade company right there in Java, and they bring it into Portland. You go there, you check it out, you're going to pay a little more, but you can see the quality, and it's going to look like something that lasts for a long time because you can feel the quality when you look at it. So go see them, ecopdx.com, to find out more. EcoPDX.
A 47-member wedding party pulls off the largest dine-in dash in restaurant history. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. A large wedding party made a hasty exit last night from Boston's Worthington Inn without paying the bill. Police officials say it beats the 1999 dine and dash perpetrated by the cast of Rent at a New York City steakhouse by at least 10 people. Worthington Inn manager Brian Strange.
I should have known something was up when everybody went outside to have a cigarette. I mean, that was like a $3,000 tab.
Strange added that he would have been much angrier if he hadn't been so impressed by the precise planning and execution required to attain this incredible world record. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
The Onion Radio News, mornings and afternoons, from AM 970, Solid State Radio. If you haven't heard the Don and Mike show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah. Well, it's like Christopher Columbus. And, when I was watching that the other night. And
the Tom Selleck movie.
Tom Selleck was,
Homo.
Was the king of Spain. I thought it was
that accurate or what?
I think you're the king of pain. You're watching that.
Wasn't it Shakespeare who said, "Prithee, if only I had a Betamax,
yeah,
I would not have to put these to paper."
Amen, brother.
I love it when you get intellectual like that. Talking about Billy S.
I like it when he says, "Prithee."
I like when I can...
Here's some Betamax trivia for your first two movies. When I got my very first Betamax, first two movies I rented.
Yeah.
On Golden Pond.
Yes.
And Dubby Does Dallas.
Hey.
I swear to God.
I rented
them at the same store.
You're not unusual.
And were they for the same purpose?
Yes.
Let's listen. Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah,
weeknights at 7. Only on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan invites you to celebrate their birthday. Enter to win one of Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan's birthday surprises. And check out the Nissan year-end clearance. Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan. Go to TonkinWilsonvilleNissan.com.
Ever wonder why car salespeople don't give you a price up front? Because they're professional negotiators who make their living on commissions. But at Car Chevy World, our salespeople are on salary, so we can post the real price on the window of every Chevy on our 11-acre inventory. We call it the only price, and it isn't just our lowest price. We believe it's the lowest price you'll find anywhere, like the all-new 2007 Aveo, starting at just $84.99, with 35 miles per gallon, dual front and side airbags, and a 100,000-mile factory warranty. Car Chevy is the largest dealer in the Northwest, so our customers get more selection and more savings than ever. And with an only price of just $84.99 on a new Aveo, we're starting an American revolution. So stop getting pressure and start getting assistance at Car Chevy World, home of the only price. One block west of Murray on TV Highway in Beaverton, or on the web at carauto.com. The only price. Our lowest posted no-haggle price. Only at Car Chevy World. Stock number C79073.
Add your name to the list of businesses transformed by the marketing power of AM 970. Call Dean Snyder at 503-222-1011. And tell him you'll be advertising right here in this space. After all, you're listening, aren't you? Aha! This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
If shopping for a car sounds exhausting, then go to the place with the lowest price, the only price, only at Car GMC Cadillac. The only price is our lowest price right from the start. And it's not just our lowest price. We believe it's the lowest price you'll find anywhere. And right now, during our model year clearance event, our only prices are at their lowest of the year. Like a new 2007 GMC Yukon for just $32,497. It's our best no-haggle price, clearly posted on over 150 GMC vehicles in stock. Combine that with a no-hassle sales approach, and instead of shopping, you could be driving your new GMC. And right now, you can get into a new 2007 Yukon for only $32,497. So make it easy. Make it fast. Make it over to Car GMC Cadillac in Vancouver, just minutes from the Interstate Bridge at the City Center and C Street exit, or on the web at carauto.com. The only price. Our lowest posted no-haggle price. Stock number G71004.
When it comes to helping people and communities thrive, there is an old way.
Food stamps.
And there is United Way.
Asset development.
Financial literacy programs.
Shoulders to lean on.
Transportation and health care access.
Home ownership incentives.
Right here in your backyard and across the country, United Way is changing the way. From quick fixes to real lasting change. That's not the old way. That's United Way. And that's what matters.
Get over there.
Super digital. I'm going to give you a web address. I'm going to give you a phone number. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time to pick up the phone or to click on your mouse and go to the website at superdigital.com. Phone number is 503-228-2222. 503-228-2222. Super Digital, the recording store. And there's basically two different ways to do it. If you want to record something, you can go in, you can use their studio, they can set it up, they can mic it, they can show you how to mix it, produce it, process it, master it, duplicate it. And of course, you can get your DVDs or CDs actually made there too. They got that Starving Musician special where it's 1,000 ready to sell CDs for $11.49, is basically like $1.19 each or so. You know what? They can also outfit your home studio too. And a lot of people hear things like Pro Tools, which is, I mean, really the gold standard as far as audio production software, and they don't know how to use it, they don't know how to get on board, they don't even, you know, you can be overwhelmed by how many choices there are, whether it's speakers or monitors, whether it's a mixing board, whether it's a microphone, even headphones. You walk in, there's a whole wall of them, what are you going to buy? Well, you know what, Super Digital, they will help you with this. You don't have to go through a catalog, you don't have to go through some website to buy everything. You can go there, you can talk to them, and they speak musician, and they will translate all of that kind of geek musician talk, all of that technical speak, into something you can actually understand. They've been here since 1987. They are musician-owned and operated. See, money stays right here in Portland. They've been helping to make music technology obey since 1987. You pick up the phone, you call them right now while you're thinking about it. 503-228-2222. Super Digital.
If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah.
Will writes, hey, Steffi, there's been a lot said lately about you being a racist because you mock Namibia. Actually, I did not mean to mock Namibia. I meant to mock the spawn of Brad and Angelina, who is named Shiloh. Because he was named by a Namibian governor, or, you know,
whatever.
Anyway.
You are making fun of the local dialect.
No, I'm. That's the thing. Someone was like, oh, you mocked an African baby. It's not an African baby. It's Brad and Angelina's baby, for God's sakes.
Right.
And I was mocking celebrities naming their child odd names.
Okay.
In a desperate plea for even more attention. Anyway, Will goes on to say, I understand that you're confused. Those of us who listen to you on a regular basis understand you don't hate all Africans, you just hate Namibians.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Mornings at 6. Only on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Good God Almighty. Rick Emerson returns on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
So sleazy looking. Even by lawyer standards, he looks sleazy. See, I'm giving you right there. Give me the opening for your. Give me right there the in for your hyperkinetic opening.
You know, I'm so not hyperkinetic today. But I was going to say, have you watched that show about the Daily News, Tabloid Wars?
No. Oh, wait. No,
very
no. It's a reality show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're kind of a documentary style show. More, you know, it's not a reality show in that, you know, they're not playing stupid games, you know, and.
It's just sort of like a document, like an ongoing documentary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, focusing on the staff of the Daily News and how they participate for every day.
There she is. There she is. Genius. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Now, I read a book called Tabloid Baby, which is about a guy who had worked at, it was sort of the history of the New York Post versus the New York, the Daily News and all of that. So, documentaries like that, what nobody has ever made, here's the thing that fascinates me. I'm actually less fascinated by people who work at the Inquirer or whatever than I am at, like, the guys who work at the Weekly World News.
I know. Did you have Tom D'Antoni on here once?
I don't know who that is, so I'm guessing
he's
no.
He's a local writer about town, and he just wrote a book about his experiences working for the National Enquirer.
Really?
Yeah, and he's great. You should have him on if you haven't.
I think he emailed me at one point.
Yeah, he's really funny. I think he's got a lot of good stories.
I think that he either emailed me, or I think it's entirely possible that he actually just kind of called up the show. Like, just as some guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think as a guest. I think he just called him and was like, hey, long-time listener, whatever.
Yeah,
hello.
Okay.
We talked about it. I don't think I ever had him back on, which is I am poor for
book
it.
Him.
I am. Well, you know, I was looking into
Bob Newhart. Can you get Bob Newhart? That'd be so great.
Well, you know, he's on tour right now. That's the thing. Bob Newhart
is on
tour.
He was on NPR.
Really?
Yeah, he was really funny.
What? Bob Newhart is a guy. We were talking about this during the break about Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. By the way, this segment, and we'll probably just for today and tomorrow, we'll probably just do it kind of my lame, you know, fifth, sixth caller style. But as we go on, we're going to be doing this thing. It's like where we start with the fifth row and the next, and then it's fourth row all the way up to front row tickets. And then the front row tickets are going to get backstage as well.
Sweet.
So for today, we'll probably just do it, we'll just take a random caller. But we got these tickets for Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. And you were talking about Blazing Saddles and how...
Yeah.
That every guy I know who is like my age, all of the guys like me know Harvey Korman, especially from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, Hedley Lamarr.
It's Hedley, sir. Hedley Lamarr, which is just, I mean, you know, and that movie, the effect of Blazing Saddles is dulled on me a little bit because I've seen it 1,000 times, and I'm no longer 10 years old, and flatulence is less amusing to me than it used to be. But goddamn, that movie is still so fantastic, and those guys... There is such a specific kind of sort of sketch comedy that those guys perfected along with Carol Burnett. Carol Burnett's another one, man.
Yeah, she's great.
What the hell is she doing these days? She just sitting around somewhere counting money?
Probably.
Drinking margaritas? I mean...
I just saw her on the Megan Mullally show.
Really?
Mm-hmm, a couple days ago.
Is that show terrible?
It actually isn't so bad.
How is she?
Because I'll just watch it as I'm like packing up my bag to ride my bike to work.
How is Megan Mullally? She's actually
very likable. She had Chris Noth on today, who is the guy from
Mr. Big. Yeah. Why do I know that? From Sex and the City?
Yeah.
I don't know him. I know him from Law and Order.
No, he was. Yeah, and she just was really likable. I mean, you know, kind of doing the same thing as Ellen does, like dancing out when she comes out. But I liked her.
She just seems really hot, and that's when I was watching that. The
she's totally your type.
Is she?
Oh yeah.
What does that mean, Sarah? Please to explain now.
That means that she's a beautiful yet like curvaceous and confident woman.
Curvaceous and confident. Is that code?
No, you'd like
she
her.
She has large breasts.
She's a big, beautiful woman.
Yes, no, not
that's
even
really
big.
What that
big.
Means. That's
no,
really
she's not big at all. She's curvy.
All right. Well, no, I'm a big. I'm always intrigued by that. Oh, look at that. I see on the screen right there this woman who's been peering out at me from every newspaper I've seen today. What is the name of that show? Ugly Betty?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have a question, and I know this is my pop. We were just talking about this story earlier on in the show.
She was in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Okay. This Ugly
what?
Betty show.
Horrible movie.
There's this show called Ugly Betty, and we were talking earlier today about how, as a culture, I don't mean to make this sound more important than it is, but I mean, television really is the bond that holds a lot of America together. You don't really appreciate that. But I mean, television sort of is the mortar that holds the cultural bricks of this country against one another. And there was a time, and I'm not saying that it's good or bad that this has passed, but I mean, there was a time when everybody kind of watched the same things, even in the cable era. And the example I was using was The Simpsons, that everybody watched The Simpsons. Monday morning, I had to do The Simpsons last night. You don't do that anymore. I mean, the closest I could think of, and this doesn't even include me. I mean,
like
I know
Super Bowl or something like that.
That, and, you know, frankly, I know a lot of people watch American Idol, and I don't, but I know you walk through the office, and a lot of people do. Yeah. There's the Super Bowl. I think for a lot of people, there's The Sopranos. But other than that, it's like there's nothing. Can you think of a show right now that you can just say everybody watches, and everybody being a general term?
Maybe Lost.
Maybe. Maybe. It's possible. Lost might be that. But that's it, man. That's all I can think of.
You know what I'm really sick of is people who say, oh, I don't watch TV.
You know?
Like, there's a lot of crap, but there are so many things are so good.
TV gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
I think TV gets a really bad rap. And there's a couple things that people who are really intentionally, they're Luddites about it, where they just... Like, first of all, the fact that you don't watch TV doesn't make you smarter than anybody else.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
As Stephen King once said, you know what? You don't get brownie points for being out of touch with your own culture. It's like people who say that they don't watch TV, to me, those are like people who take a lot of pride in the fact... You probably know
they keep
like
a well-thumbed copy of Ulysses on their bedside
totally.
Table.
Totally. I'd love to...
Blow the dust off of it.
I'm at home reading Finnegan's Wake, so I'm... And then some friends and I are going to sit around and listen to Ayn Rand give a lecture on the tape.
I might watch Fountainhead.
Totally, exactly. Boy, you know, you talk about a whole group of people I could shoot into the sun. It's everybody who talks about Ayn Rand, just put them on a boat and just send them away. No, but you probably have known people like this. People who say it as a point of pride that they are, quote, computer illiterate. Do you know people like that?
Yes.
I don't know nothing about computers. And then they say it as though I'm expected to pat them on the head and give them a goddamn cookie for it. Like, there you go. Well done. You know? It's the whole thing just grates on me. But pop culture-wise, there's this show called Ugly Betty. And first of all, I don't know what a telenueva is. And that's the one, that's the thing that everybody is saying by the show. They're, well, you know, Ugly Betty. It's like an American telenueva, which they say.
A telenovela?
Well, telenovela, what is that?
It's like a nighttime soap, yeah.
Right. But no one is saying
it's like a mini-series soap.
So no one has really said it that way. They're all using the telenovela. It's like...
Which she's Latin?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
They're saying that, and you can tell that they've all got their talking points from exactly the same press release.
Yeah.
Because all of these idiot journalists are going, Ugly Betty, you know, it's a telenovela, they say, as though they all are really, like, knowledgeable. It's like people have to refer to something as being a Bollywood film. You know what I mean? Next person says Bollywood, it should just be set on fire. Because it's just, I mean, just say that it's a, like, not everything has to be a movement. You know, sometimes it can just be a TV show that's from somewhere else. But the movie, this Ugly Betty show, and you can tell that she's ugly. Because she's wearing glasses, and I believe they might have also put braces on her. And so, therefore, that equal... Wouldn't just once you love to see a show like just stocked with truly ugly, hideous people? I would give anything... I think... I thought about this a lot, actually, that I think that's a show... That's a gimmick that would get a lot of traction. If you had a television show that really, honestly, and truly had, like, a horrifically ugly cast.
Well, what about those shows like Beauty and the Beast? Reality show, hooking up the B-list models with...
Was that the one, the Beauty and the Geek?
Disturbingly...
Beauty and the Geek?
I saw Beauty and the Geek. Beauty and the Geek
was
there's
also
like
one
that.
With a really ugly man.
What was that?
I think it was called Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast? And was it like hideous guys? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, see, I would almost watch that just... Like, I think if you had a sitcom, though... Like a sitcom that had just a bunch of really ugly cast members. I mean, not even like deformed, but just, you know, typical unattractive people. I think there's
Cheers. I think did a good job.
See, because they looked. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And
the Family.
I think people would almost watch that at this point. That could be a marketing hook.
Yeah, you know,
it's
I'm
like
so
an
sick
act
of the
defiance.
Way everybody has to look so airbrushed and perfect. You know. And how come there are nipples in every shot on every TV show across the board, no matter what?
Is that true?
What? It's true.
I keep an eye out for nipples.
You know, I think women have had nipples for a really long time, but it's only been the last, like, 5 years that they're on TV ubiquitously, you know? And, I mean, outside of PBS, you know, the human body sort of show.
Where do we come from?
No, I mean, like the air conditioning's on high, you know?
That's the thing that you see those, gossip blogs.
Friends, Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox.
The gossip blogs will do that, too, where it's like a picture of, here's Natalie Portman with the headlights on. And, I mean, maybe I've had too much exposure to porn over the years, but I don't really care. It fails to excite me. Here's the other thing.
I'm just
real quick as a side note here. Maybe I differ from most men, and I know that I probably do in some ways, but I'm just going to say this. We will not use the crude street term for this, but I'm saying just like a woman who's walking outside in a thin T-shirt when it's cold outside doesn't really do a whole lot to excite me as a 33-year-old man. I mean, it's like I've seen it. Here's the other thing that doesn't really do much for me. Women with overly tight pants that become
You mean BPL?
I'm not. Well, no. I'm talking.
Oh,
I'm,
you mean?
You know, I'm saying when there's.
Yeah.
When you've heard about
like
certain,
the Marlboro foot.
I'm saying, you know how sometimes politics are divisive. Sometimes your pants are divisive. You know what I mean? And that doesn't. Maybe it's me that's the exception. There's nothing sexy to me about that in any way. There's really nothing. I don't look at that and go, yeah, I got to go home and spend some quality time with myself. There's nothing. At no point do I find that to be attractive in any way. Let's see. Let's. And no, I'm not going to say it, Scotty. So you just. I'm not going to use that phrase on the air. John, hello. And goodbye. All right.
Oh, that's true. Watch British TV to see ugly people.
British TV?
Yeah.
I mean, is it...
Yeah, their makeover shows, like, their versions of what not to wear or whatever are way more brutal than ours.
Their makeover shows are just a whole lot of, like, well, I've got these scabs.
They come out, and they just grab women's breasts, and you're like, okay, they need to be up here. You know?
Get me some tape. I'm just gonna real quickly, because I teased this at the top. I'm gonna go over this this list of this is the these are the most frequently not banned as such, but these are the most frequently challenged books. In other words, where some nutcase parents group or right wing organization demands that a book be taken off a school library shelf or a city library shelf. So this is the American Library Association just put this out. These are the 25. Let's see. These are the 25 most frequently objected to books, according to the American Library Association. In other words, the 25 books that are most frequently requested to be removed from the shelves of either public libraries or schools. Anybody know what number one is? And it's not Catcher in the Rye, which I
said... 1984?
I'm not even sure the Catcher in the Rye is on here. No. No.
The Bible.
No, although that's one of those ones that liberals always protest just to be ornery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you can always see it coming. This is liberals.
How about Our Bodies, Ourselves? Or something like that.
I am curious, yeah. Yellow. Liberals really need to get a new playbook, though. This is because liberals are often just as tedious and predictable as right wingers, because this is a saw that became old about 20 years ago, where liberals go, well, you know what? I know of a book that contains all kinds of violence and perverse sexual... And it's like one of those things that was witty, like the first time you're... Let me tell you about a book that I read once.
Yeah, it was really funny when the Bible was still hot off the press.
Number one most... This is the number one most challenged book in both public schools and in public libraries is the Harry Potter series.
Really?
Because, of course, you know, it promotes...
Because of the black arts.
Because it promotes the witchcraft. The Harry Potter series is the single most challenged book. And then number two, some of these don't even make any sense. Like, you read these and you don't understand, like, what could even be objectionable about this. The second most frequently challenged book in the American library system is To Kill a Mockingbird.
That was my
really?
Guess. Yes.
Well, that doesn't even make any sense. Is that
I
because of the
book.
Is
no.
that because of the so-called N word or
that book's amazing? Well, that's why I thought it was The Adventures or what's the title of that Tom Sawyer book?
Huck Finn.
Huck Finn, yeah.
The Adventure of Huckleberry Finn. That's number 10. And that's, of course, because the whole point of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn is it was an allegory, but that, not to be overly drony about this, but that was obviously Mark Twain's attempt to talk about the racial divide in America at that time. And, you know, you couldn't just write a big tome on it at that point and people read it. You had to cloak it as a story. Number three, The Color Purple, because it's full of the gays. Four, The Outsiders. Really?
Really?
Essie Hinton? I've never read The Outsiders because I'm a man, but I don't understand. That's just, it's like hot boys and gangs, right? Isn't that book is about? Isn't that what The Outsider is? It's just like, cute boy gangs who punch each other? All right.
I think there's some killing.
There's a little sex, too. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Number five, Lord of the Flies. Number six, Of Mice and Men. I don't understand who protests any of these books. Number seven, The Goosebumps series. See, I'm too old to have ever read. Isn't that like the R.L. Stein thing? Isn't that it's like Stephen King for children? These are the most challenged books in the American library system. Number eight, How to Eat Fried Worms. Yeah. I have no idea what's objectionable about that.
I don't, what book is that?
Have you never read How to Eat Fried Worms?
No.
That's the best book. It's sort of like it's kind of one of those in the style of Judy Blume. Like, if you love Judy Blume, you'll like Thomas Rockwell's How to Eat Fried Worms. Is a great book. It's a book, totally a boy book. But it's a children's book about two friends, and they make a bet. I believe they bet $50. And the bet is whether the protagonist of the book can eat an earthworm every day for 30 days. I think it is. I think it's for 30 days. But he has to go every day for a month, and he has to eat one worm a day. And they bet $50. It's a fantastic, because it's one of those books that, it's such a simple concept that as soon as the author came up with it, she must have known that it was genius and that boys everywhere would love it. I have no idea. Number 9, Catcher in the Rye. Which, the Catcher in the Rye, and maybe it's just because I read it when I was too old, which I found it to be a really tedious and irritating book.
Oh, I love that book.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it because I
have a big soft spot for anything that deals with, like, the privileged Northeastern, you know, private school sort of genre.
See,
yeah, and also the Park Avenue.
So, like, what else would fall into that category?
Like, anything, like, of those movies by the Barcelona series. I can't remember. What's the director's name?
I have no idea.
There's, like, Barcelona and, like, The Last Days of Disco and...
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I know what you're talking about there.
Yeah,
all
like
right.
That kind of stuff. And then, like anything that's set, you know, at or around Vassar, basically.
anything...
The women.
I mean, Catcher in the Rye, and I think that, but here's the problem with Catcher in the Rye, two things. A, I think I read it too late in life, because I did not read it when I was in high school, for one thing, which I guess is when you're supposed to probably read it. And I know that I'm in the minority with the Catcher in the Rye. Not just with, you know, when you think about it, like some crazed nutcase like a Mark David Chapman, but I mean, it's like, you know, I've lost track of the number of bands or other books or guys I know who name their kids Holden or whatever. And I, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody has their own book that kind of changes their lives. You know, and for me, it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That was kind of the one that did it for me. But I think I read it. I picked exactly, I know this now sounds like NPR because we're just doing book talk, but what are you going to do? It can't just be boobs and butts constantly. I think the problem with me with Catcher in the Rye is that I read Catcher in the Rye when I was, God, I must have been 18 or 19. And, you know, not like I had some Tom Joad life, but I mean, you know, I didn't have a lot of money, and I was kind of, you know, trying to make it, living in this crappy apartment and making no money. And I think it's like, I found it so hard to have sympathy for any kid who was rich enough to be able to, like, he had enough money in his pocket to stay in a Manhattan hotel for a week.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, I immediately was, clinically unable to feel sympathy for him in any way. Number 10, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. Number 11, The Giver. I have no idea what that is. Number 12, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Number 13, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, which is a fantastic book. And I'm actually a much bigger fan of that than I am of Huck Finn. Number 14, Captain Underpants. Number 15, The Anarchist Cookbook. Do they even still sell that? Number 16, Carrie by Stephen King. That's because it has the bleeding and the so forth. Number 17, Flowers for Algernon. Number 18, The Dead Zone. Number 19, I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings. Number 20, Go Ask Alice. Go Ask Alice. That's so great.
Because it makes drugs sound so fantastic.
It's so great. Yeah, and Go Ask Alice is like the Phil Hendry show. You experience it the first time, and it's fascinating because it's just all crazy and spooky and weird. And then it's great again later when you realize how fake it is. The best part about Go Ask Alice is reading it again as an adult and just realizing how And look, not like I reek of drug experience or something, but it's a book clearly written by somebody who is trying to sound like somebody who has a lot of drug knowledge, but who clearly has no drug knowledge at all, and even I can spot that. The best part is how when she's so fried out of her brain on acid that she can't stand up, but then she's writing these long, really articulately well put together passages that are completely lucid and not hallucinatory in any way. Number 21, American Psycho. Number 22, The Chocolate War. James and the Giant Peach. That makes no sense. Oh, it's because he kills his aunts. That's why that is. It's because he murders his aunts on, like, page 18. Number 24, The Pigman. Number 24, A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, I love
by
those.
By Madeleine L'Engle.
Yeah.
That's because, you know, the kids and the Satanism, the blood drinking. All right. We should take a break here. We'll come back. Jen Lane is here from Barfly Magazine. We'll talk about what's going on in your world. And, Scotty, just so you are aware, when we come back, we will go ahead and we'll give away some tickets for Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. They are coming to the Schnitzer on November 17th. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Stay there.
From downtown Portland, Oregon, this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Yes, exactly. Hello. All right. Here's the Rick Emerson radio program. And, of course, we always love to welcome new sponsors to the show. And they're actually a relatively recent addition. With the start of the NFL season, Dominick's a brand new sponsor. Dominick's, not your ordinary sports bar. They're in Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard. And the first thing you notice when you walk in, Dennis and I have talked about this, is endless televisions. They got like 12 different televisions in there. And, of course, it's not just necessarily NFL stuff, pro stuff. It's also college stuff. Ducks games and Beavers games. They got the full satellite package. And if you go in there, there's lots to do between games as well, because they got pool, shuffleboard, karaoke, live music. Tell them you heard about it on the Rick Emerson Show, and you're going to get an appetizer absolutely free. There's no cost to you. And their full menu goes all the way till close. Everything from sort of the, you know, the low-key kind of bar food all the way up to sandwiches, steak, etc. And Saturday and Sunday, they have the $1.99 breakfast special that's always going. Tell them you heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. Be sure to go there for whatever your sports fix may be. They're on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard. Jen Lane?
Then there's shuffleboard.
And there's the old school shuffleboard,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
The old school. I met my wife actually.
Yeah,
has gone
so
there.
They've got two really big old ones. Yeah.
She's sort of a shuffleboard enthusiast. Yes. And so she's gone there. Go tell them you heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. Get an appetizer of your choice absolutely free. They are not your ordinary sports bar, they're Dominick's.
Tonight, a miniature crime scene is CSI's biggest mystery yet.
No prints, no fibers, but the blood inside matches the victims.
New episode CBS Tonight.
From the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, The Late Show with David Letterman. Top 10 list, sponsored in part by NBC TV.
Tonight, there's only one place to see a movie star, a wild bar, a great deal, and end up in the ER. NBC. First at 8, 7 Central, Burt Reynolds on My Name is Earl, followed by the Emmy-winning comedy, The Office. Then, it's an all-new Deal or No Deal.
I love this show!
Plus, a spectacular all-new ER featuring Sally Field and John Stamos. Tonight on NBC.
At Romano's Macaroni Grill.
You know how I discover things you guys miss? Exactly. Like this sausage stuffed cannelloni with its layers of flavors. Never had it before, have you?
Well, it's brand new.
Italian sausage, homemade meat sauce, melted cheese.
Your pasta Milano, I discovered that.
Tender chicken, garlic cream sauce. I get it here all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a Mac Grill classic.
But I discovered it first. I'm a discoverer. Like Marco Polo.
Well, you're old enough.
From pasta Milano to new sausage stuffed cannelloni, discover the many flavors of Romano's Macaroni Grill.
The category tonight, top 10 signs the Earth is too damn hot. The scientists say that the temperature of the Earth has never been hotter in like a million years. This is the hottest it's ever been. That's a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing.
What will it do to the pudding industry? The category tonight, top 10 signs the Earth is too damn hot. Here we go, number 10. It is so hot, Tom Cruise was screaming at Al Roker, number 9. It is so hot, Willie Nelson got caught with a kilo of Italian ices, number 8. It is so hot, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is enriching Gatorade. Enriching Gatorade. Number 7, it's so hot, Bobby Brown called Whitney Houston just to get the cold shoulder. Number 6, it's so hot, I saw Rachel Ray making soup in the East River. In the East River, it's so hot, Britney Spears' baby is driving a convertible. Damn. And number 4, it's so hot, Katie Couric is doing the news in a tankini. Number 3, it's so hot, Al Gore has a new movie, An Inconvenient Sweat Stain. Oh. Number 2, it's so hot, Paris Hilton was seen canoodling with Ted Williams' head.
Oh, man, that's hot.
And the number 1 sign the Earth is too damn hot, it's so hot, Jim McGreevy is having an affair with Ben and Jerry.
Don't forget to join David tonight when his scheduled guests will be Richard Branson, Dane Cook, and the music of Monica. That's tonight on the CBS Television Network. Copyright 2006. Worldwide Dance Incorporated.
Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan invites you to celebrate their birthday. Enter to win one of Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan's birthday surprises and check out the Nissan year-end clearance. Tonkin Wilsonville Nissan. Go to TonkinWilsonvilleNissan.com.
And now, AM 970 presents the Encyclopedia Portlandia.
The Church of Elvis was a performance art gallery and museum that occupied various Portland locales for 17 years. Created by Stephanie Pierce, the Church of Elvis began its life as a small coin-operated fortune-telling machine, which in turn was part of a larger offering of artwork and displays. By 1994, the church was moved to Southwest Ankeny Street and was offering surreal exhibits of pop culture memorabilia, as well as discount non-legal weddings and a ride around the block in a homemade chariot. The Church of Elvis finally closed for good in 2002, but left a lasting impression on all those who passed through its doorway over its lifetime.
This has been another entry in the Encyclopedia Portlandia from AM 970, Sun State Radio. AM 970 here, reminding you that left or right, liberal or conservative, hacks are hacks and boring is boring. So shun the tedious and the inane, the political and the predictable, and listen to something quite different. AM 970, Solid State Radio. Coming up at 3, it's the Tom Likas Show. Now, back to Rick on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Rick, this email says, you know, they're actually releasing a movie version of How to Eat Fried Worms. I think it's already out. He says, it looks horrible. I wish Hollywood would stop raping my childhood. Good day to you, sir. Yeah, that's not going to stop. It's 503-733-2970. Jen Lane is in his house, and we'll be asking her about all the things going on in the world of Barfly. By the way, and we're just going to kind of do these fifth and sixth caller style today, Scotty. And then as time goes on, I've already devised, by the way, in my head, I've already devised the method by which we will give away the backstage for Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. It's genius. But for now, Scotty, we'll take callers 5 and 6. Harvey Korman and Tim Conway on their farewell tour coming to the Schnitzer November 17th. So we'll take callers 5 and 6 for that, Scotty. Pair each at 503-733-2970. Let us quickly go to Tim Riley, who has some breaking news here.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Sources tell us Etta Nicole Smith married her longtime attorney and close confidant Howard K. Stern this morning at 10:30 in Nassau, Bahamas. The wedding occurred only 18 days after the death of Etta's son Daniel from an accidental drug overdose in a Nassau hospital room on September 10th. In a world-exclusive report, an eyewitness tells Star, I guess this is Star magazine, that Etta and Howard tied the knot at 10:30 this morning on a 50-foot long catamaran anchored off Blackbeard's Cay in Nassau. There was heavy security around the yacht plus extra speedboats to deliver more supplies if needed, including unlimited Dom Perignon champagne from the island to the boat, says an eyewitness who adds the wedding party celebrated the union afterwards by having a swim party around the yacht, and Etta was wearing a pink bikini.
Well, it's good that the grief has still got a hold on her. You know, and I made this observation before, but boy, she just doesn't look anything like she used to. And I don't mean that in like a You've lost a lot of weight. I mean, literally, she doesn't look anything like she used to. She looks like a different person.
Yeah, she looks mutated.
Lots of work done. Okay, now you have a follow-up here, though.
So there is a follow-up. So I guess lawyers have been looking into this, and I guess... all right, so this is from a lawyer who wrote one of the bloggers about it. He said he's positive that the reason that they got married is because under the family law in the Bahamas, if a person marries the mother after the birth of a child and acknowledges that he is the natural father, like Howard K. Stern just did on Larry King... he is presumed by under their laws to be the father of the child. And it can't even be contested because the only way they can do a paternity test, that Larry Burkhead guy, it says that he can only do a paternity test if there's nobody claiming to be the father of the baby.
That's so weird.
I wonder if I'll be able to revive my Anna Nicole Halloween costume this year.
Okay.
Do it!
Okay,
one
now,
of my favorites.
I was going to say this today because we don't have time now because yesterday we got somehow... We got off into this whole thing about who will play us in the film version of the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, and you know, the guy from Entourage is you, for sure.
Who?
The guy who plays his manager.
Eric?
Yeah.
Who's that guy's name? What? I can never remember his name.
Oh, Kevin O'Connell.
The guy dating Nikki Hilton? Really?
Yeah.
Me?
No, totally.
Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little shorter than you.
I mean, I'll take it. Don't get me wrong, cool. But okay.
You can get him some lifts.
That's not, you're telling me that's not mercy casting, you're saying?
No.
Really?
I think he's cute. Yeah.
Because you were coming in today, and I started thinking.
Yeah, out of that, if you want to play the Entourage game, he'd be my number one choice.
I was, really?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Rank, he was mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, rank the Entourage guy. We're talking characters or actors now?
Characters.
Rank the characters in the order that you would sleep with them.
Eric, Vince, Johnny.
Really?
And then Turtle. And then Ari. I hate Ari.
Johnny
love
is third?
Him. Definitely.
Man, my wife
Turtle,
put him dead
Turtle
last.
Turtle is, I don't, you know, I'm not that superficial. I try to look beyond the surface. But physically, Turtle is...
Not your type.
Yeah, definitely not my type.
Your type is more of
I like
tall,
when they're taller
they're slender.
Than me, for one thing. Right. And,
I don't know what it says about me that Lara put Turtle first. It's the weirdest thing. All right. Well, anyway, but so I was thinking, so you were coming in today, and I was thinking, in my head, it was like, who would play Jen Lane? And actually, Anna Nicole Smith was the first person that came to mind. I swear to God. No. No, is that not a compliment, Sarah?
I still think she's pretty.
I mean, I found her prettier kind of back in the day, not so much
but
now.
But she's so vapid, and obviously.
I'm speaking physically now, in terms of sheer physicality, Anna Nicole Smith. But more of like the 95
era. Are you talking about the, you're talking about the pre-trim spa, do you want some money? Do you want a Viper?
I'm talking about...
Do you like my body? Remember those commercials?
No, but I feel
awful.
I feel really awkward now.
Those are bad.
They're terrible commercials.
No.
They're Anna's sexy commercials.
I don't know. All I'm talking about is the era when all my friends and I thought she was the hottest thing on earth. That's all I know.
Her in her guest jeans days.
That's what I'm saying. The guest jeans.
Yeah,
and then,
if you weren't married, I'd marry you right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I were taller. But no, here's all. And
you
I know.
Can work around that.
And I know this sounds creepy. And I try not to be. We were talking earlier about guys who are always talking about, you know, like going on and on about their own whatevers. I got to say this. There is this one pictorial that she did in Playboy magazine, and it was the Valentine's Day pictorial, I believe, in like 90, and I'm only judging this by remembering the apartment I lived in. I think it was like 93, 94, but she did a Valentine's Day pictorial. And I got to tell you, and believe this or not, and people can think this is crap, but Playboy photo layouts are not really a turn on to me. I mean, there's a difference. The women, I mean, they're very pretty, they're very aesthetic, and they're very, you know, whatever. But, you know, they're too arty and airbrushed and whatever. I don't find them to be, like, arousing. They're beautiful, but they're not hot to me. She did this one pictorial, though, in, like, Valentine's Day of, I think, 93, that is one of the hottest things I have ever seen. I mean, just stunning. And, I mean, and then, you know, you look at her now, and she just looks pointy and weird.
You know, speaking of porn, I watched this documentary, Thinking Triple X.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
No.
Heard about it? It was like an HBO-made documentary, but it's about the making of this coffee table book where a photographer takes, like, classically posed photographs of porn stars clothed and in the same pose, nude.
That's cool.
And it's really, really good. Yeah. It was really entertaining, and, I would recommend it. Thinking Triple X.
All right. What? I'm sorry. Okay, Scotty wants me to say stop calling. We have winners. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean for you to actually have to screen calls.
Look at him smack you around.
The call screening room.
Well, you did what he told.
He only hits me because he loves me. All right. Jen Lane, what's going on in the world of Barfly
Magazine?
Well,
we've got a big weekend. We've got Stripperama on Saturday night. That's all strippers all night long.
Excellent.
On the Barfly bus. And yes, tickets are still available.
Fantastic.
And then on Sunday, we're doing Elvis's birthday party, Downtown Elvis.
And this is Elvis with the guitar downtown?
That's right. And he's going to be 44 on Sunday. We're having a big bash for him at the Ash Street Saloon on Sunday night.
44, really?
Yep. And we've got all kinds of stuff going on. Some great bands playing. My Own Black Eye, Super Ego 99. And he asked me to do a family feud. So I'm trying to get Roller Girls to play Family Feud. Otherwise, we'll do Boys versus Girls
or
something.
That's very cool.
That's always entertaining. Shanrock Trivia Jocks doing a little trivia contest. And we've got all kinds of great stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cake, cookies.
And you are... Oh, I'm sorry, but today's Thursday. I keep thinking it's Wednesday. So you were at Sabala's last night.
Yeah, last night I had my cat house gig,
All right, but that is every Wednesday.
I heard it was successful.
Right. Yes, and it was fun.
And
there might
have been
porn playing?
Yeah, like,
crazy kayaking group, like, in there... Like, it was all these boys when I walked in. It was totally Sausage Fest.
By the way,
cat house.
You have to know, you know, there is actually my hometown of Sausage Fest every year.
Really?
It's true. Todd the Corpse was in Kennewick for some reason, and he's like...
I went to a testicle festival once in Livingston, Montana.
I've got a terrible cocaine habit.
All right. It was anything. It was the first thing I found. No, Todd the corpse texted me. He's like, dude, I'm at a thing called a sausage fest. What the hell?
I've always wanted to go to a sausage. Never mind.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it. Why do you got to do that to me? Oh, fine. Don't say that. All right.
We were a lesbian couple.
There you go. I was trying to find this one's too big, but it seems to have gone away.
Yes, that's too bad.
It's all very unfortunate, isn't it? All right.
Do the crying thing.
What?
Cry.
Give the Delana cry.
What do you mean you want me to cry?
That's Delana. Kind
of, I don't know. I don't know where they went. I've misplaced a lot of our sound
effects.
We
need to get a shortcut or something in here again so we can keep them all.
No, it's true.
Yeah, how come you don't control those anymore, Sarah?
I do not like not being able to control them.
It's not.
Rick gets kind of spazzy and plays things at the wrong
time. It's not. Oh.
Like right then.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I was going to make some. We were at Sausage Fest.
Sausage Fest, Drink-A-Rama on Saturday night. Tickets are on sale at barflymag.com.
If Scotty had typed on the screen and he'd spelled it this way, he'd spelled it out, ooh, I love the Stripperama. And it was like 50 O's in a row.
Maybe Mrs. J will let him go. She doesn't have to say it's a Stripperama bus. You can just say the Barfly bus.
Just a bus of some kind. Okay.
And by the way, I've been on it, and I say this every time, but it was really very fun.
Actually,
you want to go?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of broke. That was, because I kept sitting at the rack every time, so I ended up spending a lot of money.
I think you say rack when you mean rail.
I mean rack.
No, it's called the rack.
Really?
Yeah.
That's... So there. I'm sorry, can the two women who go to porn strip clubs more than you?
I'm trying to prevent you from having another awkward soundbite generated by saying, well, there I was at the rack all night.
That's the official term for it.
I got nothing. Chris, I don't have your sounder, but, there you go. What's up, brother? All right, thank you.
Look at the way Rick tried to save you from yourself.
I'm not the one who's constantly saying, and this is too big, I'm not going to blow this one.
Whatever.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, you got to the fall asleep with Instix, or Whitney the Britney, the Hick Watch, Jen Lane's there, and you got to the most frequently challenged book. We didn't get the swimming with shark story.
Yeah, that is true.
Or the corpse watch.
All right, well, what can you do?
So you will now be at 62.
Okay. 62. All right. Thank you, sir.
See you tomorrow.
All right. There you go. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We got Like Us Next, Don and Mike. Don't forget to go to barflymag.com. Sarah Dillon produces a radio program every day. Scotty J is more than an intern. Tim Riley, of course, is the man in the news department. And Dave Zinn is at the Rick Emerson office east. Let's see, 503-733-2970. You want to make a note of that because we're back at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. See y'all then. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye. Crap.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening. KCMD AM Portland.
Encouraging people to party. That's what it's all about.
This is AM 970. Solid State Radio. And now, the Tom Likas Show. On AM 970. Solid State Radio.
From Los Angeles, it's the Tom Likas Show.
Huh? What?
And now, here he is, Tom Likas. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. It's a different kind of a radio talk program.